This is Chapel for Tuesday, November 18th. The speaker is Donna Forrester, chaplain of SCBTS.
Please stand for our call to worship. To get to a holy space, you need to take a journey. The harder the journey, the holier the place. Sometimes the road is rutted, sometimes washed out. Sometimes you can even slide off it. But the hard journey leads to a place of quiet, an inner space, when, too exhausted to go elsewhere, we collapse, open to the holy. And in the silence of that hard-gained holy space, God speaks to us. Listen to the voice of God as it speaks to you.
Chapel services this week are centering around a theme of community, and the chapel service on Thursday is going to be in Appleby, and we hope you'll join us for all three. Before I read about the seminary concerns, I'd like to share with you this story about community. A woman spoke with God about heaven and hell. "I will show you hell," said God, and then went into a room which had a large pot of stew in the middle. The smell was delicious, and around the pot sat people who were famished and desperate. All were holding spoons with very long handles, which reached to the pot, but because the handle of the spoon was longer than their arm, it was impossible to get the stew back into their mouths. Their suffering was terrible. "Now I will show you heaven," said God, and they went into an identical room. There was the same pot of stew, and the people had the same identical spoons, but they were well-nourished, talking and happy. At first, the woman did not understand. "It is simple," God said. "You see, they have learned to feed each other." Those around us who need to be remembered are Andy Hopkins, who is a student. His grandmother from Tallulah, Louisiana, died recently, and he and his wife went there last week. Wayne Mills is still a patient at Wake Medical Center. He's in room 5C10. He had surgery last Thursday and is doing very well. And Jolo Ferguson, who is in Mayview Convalescent Center, continues to need our support and our prayers. Please join me in prayer. Creator God, we are your children, with hurts, needs, and joys to share with you. Be with the ones we have mentioned aloud and the many more we have not. Be with the ones whom we don't know about, across the street or across the ocean. Love us because sometimes we forget how to love ourselves and often we forget how to love each other. Help us to realize the colorful, mending spirit of Christ Jesus which you have created in each of us. Amen. Thank you.
My position as chaplain affords me many opportunities to go out into churches and on campuses and to conventions and etc. to speak on various occasions. Quite often I hear people say things like, "Oh, you're so lucky to work in a place like that where everyone is happy and everyone loves each other so much. And there's such good fellowship and community and everybody is mindful of the same purpose." Usually I reply with some kind of intellectual gibberish like, "Southeastern is like a microcosm of the prevailing civilization with its own apportionment of crises, paradoxes, and perplexities." In other words, "No, not exactly." We laugh, but let's ask ourselves, what is the status of community on this campus this fall? Why are we having a week dedicated to the emphasis of community? Why is the student government, the student council, concentrating its efforts on fellowship and community? Why is chapel so poorly attended? I suppose we all have our own theories and our own diagnoses. But since I'm standing here and you're sitting there, I'm going to take advantage of the moment to share with you the situation as I see it. Henry Nouwen, in his little book called Intimacy, suggests that in this highly stress-filled situation, intimacy has become nearly impossible for many students. And although in this searching time of life there is heightened desire for warmth, tenderness, and disarmed relaxation, for many students, their roommate is more a stranger than a buddy. Their classmates are more rivals than friends. And their teachers more authorities than guides. No, Henry Nouwen was not speaking directly about Southeastern Seminary, but could he have been? What has happened to us recently? Where is community? The excuses we give are varied, but there are a few that stand out. We're too busy for community. We've all used that excuse from time to time. Why, graduate school is hard. It's a time for papers and time and energy. There are papers to write and papers to grade. There are exams to study for and articles to publish. There's work and school and church and interims, and occasionally a little time squeezed in here and there for family or significant others. But we simply do not have time for community as a whole. And what difference does it make anyway? We're all going to graduate or watch others leave, and then where is the community? I think that ministers are probably the world's worst about scheduling so much stuff, especially church work, that we have very little, if any, time for real community for ourselves. What are we teaching other people that we minister? If we're too busy studying or teaching theology that we can't take time out to come to chapel 3 days a week and worship together, then we'd better be mighty careful when we start criticizing our congregations for not attending services on Sunday night and Wednesday night and that special Thanksgiving or Advent service that you worked so hard planning. We're just too busy for community. Or are we? Maybe we're afraid of community. Maybe we're afraid that if people really know who we are, they won't like us. They will reject us. Or maybe they might make fun of our theology or corner us and try to make us prove what we say we believe. Maybe they won't understand our backgrounds and expect us to be like them. And if that happens, we lose our individuality. Are we so afraid of being absorbed in the current controversies in our own convention that it's easier to avoid community than take the risk? Why, you never know when people might turn on you. So it's easier to isolate ourselves and insulate ourselves than to be vulnerable to community. That's it, isn't it? We're afraid of community. Or are we? Maybe we've been hurt by community. Have you ever trusted a Christian friend with some precious piece of yourself, only to find that they had twisted the truth and used it against you? Have you ever trusted someone with your fears and insecurities, only to see them judge you and make you look inadequate? Have you ever confessed a sin in the hopes of finding forgiveness and relief, and instead found only condemnation and isolation? Have you ever mustered the courage to take a stand or respond to a call only to be told that your opinion doesn't matter? Maybe now we've hit on the real issue. The pain of open wounds and raw nerves makes us withdraw from community, like touching a hot stove makes us withdraw our hand in pain. It's a normal reaction. Every one of us have been hurt at some point, sometime, by a community that we loved and trusted. There's a lot of pain on this campus. We have been hurt from without this community, and we have been hurt from within this community. So maybe that's why the feeling of community seems low on our campus. We're too busy, we're too afraid, and we've been hurt one too many times. So what are we to do? What is the prognosis of Koinonia if it's left up to us? I want to read for you three verses from the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We've looked at the situation as I see it. Let's look at the situation for just a moment as Jesus saw it. The life of Jesus is full of answers to our excuses and our reasons. Jesus was busy. He was busy teaching and telling parables, and the people kept pushing and pushing up close, bringing those little screaming children to him. The disciples knew he didn't have time for such frivolity, and so the disciples rebuked the people and pushed them away. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Let the children come to me," he said. "For to such as these belongs the kingdom of God." Busy? Not too busy. For love covers a multitude of sins. Well, let's not forget Martha. Martha was so busy trying to be a good hostess that she was irritated with Mary. Mary was not doing her dutiful part. She wasn't helping out. But Jesus calmed her down. He cared for her, and he helped her to see that what Mary was doing was okay too. For love covers a multitude of sins. You remember when the disciples were tired? They had been journeying for many days, and they got in the boat and they wanted to kind of get away, but the people kept following them. And so Jesus responded, and he taught them. And when it was getting late, the disciples wanted to turn him away, that there wasn't enough food. And Jesus said, wait a minute. And he fed well over 5,000. Too busy? No, because love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus was never too busy to make people feel loved and special. He looked them in the eyes. He touched them. He spent time with them. He saw their hearts, because love covers a multitude of sins. Well, what did Jesus say about fear? There was Zacchaeus. He wasn't such a popular person to even know, much less dine with. It took a lot of courage to call him down out of that tree. But Jesus wasn't afraid of being talked about, because love covers a multitude of sins. And then there was the Samaritan woman at the well. Not only was she a woman with a sordid history, but she was a Samaritan to boot. It was outrageous to spend time talking to her. But Jesus wasn't afraid, for love covers a multitude of sins. And let's not forget the lawyers, the ones who tried to trick Jesus with the law of Moses. Jesus' theology was fairly radical. You weren't supposed to heal on the Sabbath or forgive adulterers. They challenged him. Just who is my neighbor? But Jesus wasn't tricked, and he wasn't afraid, for love covers a multitude of sins. Remember the woman at Bethany? What a wasteful thing she did, breaking a flask of precious ointment and pouring it on Jesus. The disciples rebuked her. They said she was wasteful. They wanted to brush her aside. But Jesus knew her intention. He knew her heart. And he wasn't afraid to stand up for her, for love covers a multitude of sins. And he healed the leper. He reached out and literally touched that dirty, stinking person who was outcast from society. But Jesus wasn't afraid to reach out and to touch and to make himself vulnerable, because love covers a multitude of sins. Okay, you say, but what about being hurt and disappointed? It's hard to regain your trust when you've been disappointed. Well, let's look at that. Jesus took on 12 scraggly followers who became family to him. He journeyed with them. He laughed with them. He cried with them. He taught them. And then he was preparing to leave it all to them. They consistently missed his point in his teachings. One of them betrayed him. One of them denied ever even knowing him. Three of them fell asleep when he needed their support the most. All of them fled the garden in fear when he was arrested. And one of them doubted that he was really the resurrected Christ. Hurt by people you love? But Jesus knew that love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus was rejected in the town in which he grew up, Nazareth. It must have been painful to be rejected in your own town. But love covers a multitude of sins. His authority was consistently challenged. But love covers a multitude of sins. Hurt by people we trust, our pain doesn't come close to the pain that he must have felt. And yet, what did he do? Did he withdraw? Did he give up? Did he finally say, okay, enough is enough? No. He was obedient even unto death. For love covers a multitude of sins. And greater love hath no one than this. So we're left with the mystery of community, a place where busyness is surprisingly satisfying, a place where fear is turned into courage, a place where pain and disappointment is transformed into healing. Isn't it time that we at Southeastern begin to celebrate the mystery? Let us pray. Your love, O God, is mysterious. It is beyond our understanding. But help us to love as you loved, that we might in our own hearts and in this community and in the world beyond love like you loved and understand and believe that love covers a multitude of sins. Thank you for covering our sins time and time again with your love. Give us the courage to do likewise. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us all about love. Amen. Stand for our hymn.
Do one another in showing honor.
Rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality.
Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep.
If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all.
May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant us to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.